Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We hope this week's message encourages and blesses you as we dive into God's Word together. Our mission at Reach is to see lives changed by Christ together in community by loving God, loving people, and reaching our world. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.
Today is going to be a little bit different. So if you've been to Reach before, I don't think we've done this before. I'm going to, kind of in the middle of my message, we're going to have some testimonies, first service and second service, that are just going to talk about our experience there. And so some of you guys may know that we went and we're like, oh, that's great. And sometimes you don't really hear much about it other than the little personal conversation. So we wanted to take a minute, partly because our church, 10 of us, went out of the country and served somewhere, and some of you guys helped support those that went, and we just wanted to kind of honor you guys and kind of show you some of the stuff that we did. And so over a week ago, 10 of us traveled to Monterrey, Mexico, which it's in the Sierra Nevada Mountains, and like that was our morning every morning. If you got up there, up between 5 and 6 o'clock in the morning when the sun came over, beautiful. And so we were serving alongside a missions organization called Back to Back, which we've been connected to the whole time that Reach has existed. And I took youth there for, you know, years, I think starting in like 2006. So at this place that we're at, it was amazing to see what God, when we first started going there, the compound was only a quarter of what it is now, and they have all these other things, which we'll kind of talk about a little bit. So this is more than just a recap. We want to talk about why living on mission matters. Jesus didn't just give us a mission, he gave us a model. The early church didn't spread the gospel because it was easy, which is today my title is called A Mission of Hope. They faced prison, persecution, and pain. And for those reading along with us in the one-year Bible, you're right in the middle of the beginning of the church, and it was not easy, comfortable, or light. They pressed on. So why did they press on? They believed that the gospel was worth it, and it still is. So here's the question for you today. Do you believe that the gospel is still the best news out there? And if you do, you don't have to wait for the next mission trip. That is kind of a mindset that we would like to change in church in general, that missions, the outreach, it happens when it is planned by the church. The church sends people to Mexico, and that is a mission trip, and it was great, and the church will do stuff, outreach, and that's great, but we, as people of the church, need to have a missions mindset. We need to live on mission. So I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to do a little introduction. Really, I'm going to talk about the two ministries that we were connected to, and then I'm going to invite our first person to come up and share. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for an opportunity to hear from people that experienced a little bit of what you're doing around the world. And so, Lord, would you give grace to those that are going to share? Would you give grace for us to hear the truth that you desire us to reach this world? And so, Lord, I pray that we would all take a little bit of personal responsibility to see your kingdom come and your will be done in this world through our lives. So, Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the grace to continue. Thank you for the grace to be here and to worship together. Lord, we love you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, a mission of hope is trusting the long-term outcome and the fruit to the faithful Father who called you on that mission. And one of my things while I was there, one of my takeaways, because they had us kind of do this thing the last night. They did a real good job of having you kind of think through what you're seeing, how you're experiencing, and what's going on. And one of them was like, they asked for what was your word from the week. And mine was hope, but I put a little caveat on it. Hope, biblical hope, has to be set in the long term. Because if you think that hope is only hope if it does what you want it to do right now instead of what it's going to do over the long term, which I'm going to couch that in these two ministries, and I'm going to talk through that after the testimonies and talk about how it was long term. We're still in it. The mission of hope is not just for paid professionals. I'm the only paid professional that's talking today. We have three other non-paid professionals in First Service that are going to share their experience and their willingness to have God use them in this way. It is for anyone who values the gospel and the work of the Holy Spirit. So we were connected to a ministry. We were with a ministry called Back to Back. Back to Back was started 27 years ago by a couple. And kind of long story short, the couple who started Back to Back, the husband, and this sounds really complicated. This is like my cousin on the third side, blah. The husband that started this, his identical twin brother is married to Jody's sister. So that was part of our original connection to Back to Back. And they were a couple that got married. And right after they got married, they went on this mission trip to Mexico. And they just had this heart for Mexico and orphans. And they literally saved money for a year or so. And then they moved to Mexico to make it 27 years ago with not a whole lot of experience, not a whole lot of what we're going to do. And they just started serving alongside. That's why their ministry is called Back to Back. They serve alongside orphanages. They don't run them. They partner with them, help raise funds, help do education, help do trauma care, help do stuff for the kids once they get out of the program. Because in Mexico, after ninth grade, education is no longer free. So if you want to finish high school or go to college, it costs money. And most orphanages, most children's homes, they don't have funding for much extra, and high school would be extra. And so one of the things that they decided a long time ago is they wanted to make sure that these kids, not only that they get love, because their little byline is hope for today, or care for today, hope for tomorrow. And they're like, we have all these kids that we're ministering to and that we're seeing like God doing some stuff in their life, but like at 15, they just couldn't get thrown out into the world. And so Back to Back, in all of their locations, they started these things called Hope Houses, where they would get some, you know, American families, some national families to kind of be a host mom and dad that would live in a large like home that had 6 to 8 kids in it, and they would carry them through. They would get sponsorships to help them pay for high school and into college. They had a 65% success rate of kids who started high school in their program that finished. And you're like, oh man, that's not that high. None of these kids would have gone to high school or college without this ministry. And so over the last 27 years, they have served 1,878 kids. They have 324 active families in their Strong Families program. So another thing that they've started here recently, they're like, man, a lot of these kids are ending up there because mom and dad don't know how to cope. They don't know how to budget. They don't know how to do life. And so they started partnering with families to help strengthen mom and dad. So the kids, you know, if the mom and dad are stronger, then the kids stay home and they don't end up going into children's homes. And they're in 10 different sites across 6 different countries. And it started off small. I mean, now they have influence. They have people that are sponsoring and giving money. I think Tim Tebow is connected to them and is doing something with one of their projects down there. And they have influence, but they didn't. When they started, they literally went down there with nothing. And the reason why it's called the Mission of Hope and how mission has to be long-term is because none of this just happens. I think a lot of times, if you hear me today and you're like, you need to reach people, you go out today and you say something nice to somebody at Walmart and it doesn't go well and you're like, well, I'm done. Done. I gave a water bottle to that one guy and he did not say thank you or it didn't go well or whatever. And we just stop and I have to tell myself and I have to tell us that if we're going to choose the gospel to be the news that it is, we have to choose that the fruitfulness of it is up to the Lord. Apollos plants, I water, but the growth and the fruit comes from the Lord. We have to do our part, which is what this couple did, and now they have, I forget how many people they have working for this organization, which is based out of Cincinnati. But we also connected with a ministry. The 3 days that we were out and about, we did one day with the Strong Families, and if you saw the zebra, we went on a little field trip with their Strong Families program. So there's about 100 of us that went to this safari and kind of spent the day with them. But the 3 days that we were in a children's home, it was called Rancho Del Rey, which really literally translates into English is Ranch of the King. And a cool little story, and then we're going to do some testimonies. They've served over 2,000 children since 1956. So the couple who started Rancho Del Rey, anybody heard of Jim Elliot before? He's a missionary, got killed. They were going into Ecuador, flying in, ministering to the indigenous people there, and they saw them as a threat, and they killed all of them. Well, the couple who started Rancho Del Rey were teammates. They were friends with Jim Elliot, and Jim, this guy who started this was a pilot, and Jim was like, hey, I want you to fly for us and do these things with us, and they just felt like this guy was like, for whatever reason, the Lord said no, and he listened to the Lord, and I think less than a year or two later, they were all dead, the ones that he would have been on there, and so they literally had a heart for orphans, and they moved down here. I think when they moved down there with their three kids, they had like, they were going to, like, the slum, like, literally, there was, like, trash dumps where kids were, like, living out of, and they started gathering children, and for 75 years, they have collected when we were there, I think there was about 23 kids, and they have, same thing, they have host family, they have a mom and dad, and some of them had kids, and they parented these 6 to 8 kids, or boys, this was all a boys' home. And I don't want to rob from what I'm going to say in a little bit, but their story is great because 75 years they've been faithful to this mission, to the kids. And I want to share that later, but I'm going to invite our first little testimony, Allie Cadell. For those that don't know, this is my youngest child who went with us on the trip.
Hello. This was my first mission trip, so I really had no idea what to expect. But if I were to use one word to describe it, as what we did in our debriefing one night, my word was shifting, because I felt like it wasn't like one big change and then like everything made sense. It was like each night or each day, a little shift, like, changed my mindset. Because at the beginning of the trip, I was focusing a lot on the negatives, like, oh, it's really hot, and so-and-so. But towards the end, I realized, like, I was missing a lot of the positives. And so, like, my mindset changed. And I was actually sad to leave, because a lot of the kids kind of connected with. And the kids were really great. There was one moment, one of the kids, his name... We all had name tags on, and his real name was Alexander, but he went by Alex. And if you didn't know, my real name is Alexandria, but I go by Allie. And there was a moment where he kind of, like, pointed to us, and he was like, well, there was a translator, and he said, like, we're the same, or, like, it's the same. And it was just, like, a really sweet moment that, like, we had nothing really in common but besides that, but it was, like, kind of heartwarming. And it kind of made me realize, like, whenever I see, like, try to see how God is working in people's lives, I always, like, look at the big things, like, the big miracles. But there's, like, small things that God is working through in all our lives. And sometimes we miss them when we're just, like, trying to look for, like, huge, big moments. And then there was one other kid. His name was Luis. I probably chased him around for, like, well, me and Jules chased him for, like, an hour. I don't even know why. He, like...
Because he stole the game.
Yeah, he had this game, but I didn't want the game, but, like, he was trying to keep it from me. But he seemed to be having fun, so I just, like, chased him around. And it was a lot of fun. There was one moment where, like, I was looking for him for probably, like, 2 minutes, and I was like doing laps around the building and I couldn't find him. And then all of a sudden this like one of the like caretakers came and kind of like was snickering and she was like pointing behind her. And he was like hiding in this like box area and I would have never found him. But it really made me realize like how much the caretakers, like how much they kind of sacrificed to do like the purpose God put in their life and how much they really cared for the kids. So it was really also nice seeing that. And all the kids, like, they were always, like, laughing, having so much fun. And you really, like, if these were just random kids in America, I wouldn't have realized, like, what they've been through in their life. And so sometimes that realizes, like, in our life, like, people can seem fine, but they really have, like, problems underneath. So that kind of prompted me, one thing I do want to do better is, like, get to know people on more of a, like, more than just a surface level. So that was one thing I learned. And then, so probably two action points that I take away from this trip is one thing is to be more present in the moment. Because that was one thing when I was on this trip, I didn't have any service on my phone. So whenever I would pick up my phone, I would just like look at it and then put it back down and then like stare at a wall for a minute because I didn't know what to do. And so now I need to get better at that because now my phone is always working here, but I need to like actually put it down and focus more. And my second thing that I kind of learned was to be more okay with being uncomfortable, I guess, because obviously in Mexico, you're talking with like a language barrier. It's kind of uncomfortable sometimes when you say something and then they just stare at you blankly and also like just that stuff. But there was like one of my teachers, she had this like plaque in her room, and it was like, life starts outside of your comfort zone. And so a lot of times, if you stay in your comfort zone, you're going to miss a lot. So that's kind of why I'm kind of speaking here. I mean, there's other reasons why I'm speaking to you, but that was one thing, is to kind of step out of my comfort zone. But it was a really great trip, a lot of memories, laughter. But yeah.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Jules.
So my name's Jules, and this is my first missions trip. It was wonderful. My first time on a plane, too, so that was awesome. So I remember one of the nights, the debriefer, she asked us to pick one word that we could use to describe this missions trip, and mine was moving, because I feel like it was awesome to see all the kids. They were so happy. Like, if I looked at the kids, I wouldn't think that they had been through, like, trauma or half the things that they went through, because they were just so happy all the time. But I feel like God really moved, like, through my heart. I feel like I'm a different person now. It was really awesome. But I made a lot of friends, too, even though there was a language barrier. Louise, I'm going to miss my little Mexican amigo. So me and Allie, we were both chasing him around with the game. It was so awesome. Well, I gave up. He went and threw it in the woods, and I went and got it, and I held it up so he couldn't get it, and he did, like, this one crazy long jump and, like, snatched it up. He was this tall, guys. He was 11 and this tall. I thought he was like 8, but I just kind of gave up after that. And we went back inside, and my mom was playing music, like, with another guy. And it was so funny. We'd all be like, oh, there goes Allie and Louise, because she's just chasing him around the building. But it was just awesome. And I really feel like God moved through me and in my heart. Because, I don't know, I just feel like I'm a different person now. And one of the things I feel like I got out of this for sure was, like Allie said, step out of your comfort zone, because you will miss a ton if you just stay in your comfort zone, because you're kind of just doing your own thing and you're missing all of the other things that, I don't know, you could be seeing if you just step outside. I don't know. It was awesome, though. This was, I kind of decided to come up here like yesterday, so this was not, I have no speech planned. I'm just up here talking. Anyways, it was awesome. Okay, Miss Louise.
Did that go on?
It's on.
It's on. Sorry. Can you hear me? Oh. No wonder why you sounded so loud. Am I really loud?
No.
Okay, good. I was not bribed into doing this, but I was persuaded.
Encouraged.
As all the people that went on this mission trip with me know, I am extremely introverted. So this is not my comfort zone. So I'm also stepping outside of my comfort zone. My story's a little different. I'm going to try to not talk too much because one of the things that I do as a self-trained extrovert is get uncomfortable and then I just keep talking. So to fill up the void of the quietness. So sometimes I don't realize I'm talking so much. So quick backstory, I actually grew up as a part-time mission kids. Like, my sister and I were with my parents, and our mission trips were generally where we would go and meet with a pastor and their family, and we'd live with them, and we'd get thrown out in the bush and whatever, all these experiences where there wasn't really a lot of protection. So I was actually looking back on it. We were in several, like, dangerous situations in different countries, and this was totally different because we were extremely protected. I was very impressed by the organization Back to Back and how much they cared for us. Not just, they fed us a ton of food. Yeah. Like, I gained weight, like, going there. They also had a ton of corn. There's, like, hardly any vegetables, so the corn thing, I had to, like, pass on the tortillas after a while. And I'm gluten-free, so all I get is corn. But they cared for us, and they went an extra step, and so I brought this book up with me. So this was our devotional that they gave us, which we didn't get through because we were only there for 4 days. And I've actually continued it while I go sit on my front porch every morning with my little Mexican cup that I bought there, and I have my coffee, and I've been working through this, and I've actually reread some of the other ones that we did while we were there. But they helped us spiritually, so they supported us. In the morning, we had our small groups, and this is what we talked about. And then in the evening, we had our debrief, and we all came together. Our whole team came together and talked about our day and also worked on spiritual things. It was just really cool to, like, have an organization that actually supported you spiritually and prepared you for going out instead of just walking out of, into the bush, which is what I was used to. So it was just a beautiful experience. It connected me to our church team. I've never hung out with Lisa, and Lisa and I had a great time. Like, we really enjoyed each other, and Eileen and Belinda, like, I really, and Vanessa, like, I've just, connections I had before, I think COVID really messed up a lot of the connections I had, and they were rekindled, and it was just a really wonderful experience getting back into, just being connected to people. So that was part of my, so they had us, what Jules was talking, I think Allie mentioned it too, a word that summed up, and actually you did too. Mine was altering, because it was very life-altering for me. On different levels. I talked about personal things that I don't normally share with people, but it actually felt really nice to have a team that I knew was there to listen and help me work through things, because this was working with trauma kids, and I'm actually a trauma kid. So I knew if I mentioned that, I'd cry. I'm sorry. So it was just wonderful, like, to read through the support that they go through and how much they care about these kids and one of the things they mentioned was that you don't really ever stop being a trauma kid. So there's support there through your whole life for these kids. A lot of the kids come back to Rancho. So it was just really beautiful. And one of the debrief nights, they skipped, and we had a worship service. And also my Spanish really was rough, and by the end of it, it all kind of came back, and it was really disappointing because I was actually like starting to have conversations. But we got to sing. They're singing in Spanish. They had the Spanish lyrics and the English, and we started out singing English. At least I did, and Jules did. And then me and her just switched over to singing in Spanish, and it was just so beautiful. Like, it was just, and the girl that was leading said the same thing that was on my heart, was like, when we get to heaven, like, how beautiful is it going to be? Everyone worshiping the Lord in whatever language, and it was just gorgeous. So I only was 5 minutes because that said 20.
That's from the beginning.
And now it's at 2025. So thank you guys for supporting us. It was not just for us working with the children. It was also for your church. So I think all of us grew from this. So we appreciate you guys. Who am I handing to?
Okay, so I am in a short period of time and going to try to convince you that what we do here matters. Like, it's one thing, like, you hear these, and some people are in the room like, I knew I should have gone. We should have. We had room. We could have taken more people. And our plan is, and we did this pre-COVID, but our plan is to every other year do a foreign mission trip somewhere, and then we're looking to potentially do one stateside in that other year. So we do want to get more strategic, but let's talk about it this way. God, through Christ, his last conversation before he ascended back to heaven, he gave what we call the Great Commission. In Matthew 28, starting verse 19, it says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you to the end of the age." Jesus ends his earthly ministry with a global assignment. And sometimes we can be like, okay, global means like we're gonna travel, and so I've got 2 years before I got to worry about anything global. And I want to shrink that down to the idea that global just means in where it starts. It starts outside of your home. It starts right outside your door, to your neighbors, to the people that you interact with, and it extends all around the world. See, missions isn't optional or reserved for professionals. It's for all of his father's followers. This was given as a command to all of those who would say yes to Jesus. And the cool thing is, he did not promise that it would be easy, and we see that through Acts, through the imprisonments and the beatings and the jail and ultimately the death of some of his own apostles. But he did promise his presence would be there. I am with you always. See, Acts follows up the Gospels, and it gives the story of the early church and the beginning of the church, and it began with this very crucial part. And that crucial part is that the power was given to us. I think some of our danger is we get ahead of God, we get ahead of the Holy Spirit, and we try to manipulate or do things by our own strength and our own power, which I'm as guilty of anyone in this room of going, I've got this. And the truth of the matter is, you don't. We don't outside of this one critical moment. So in Acts 1, Jesus had told them, stay here until the gift of the Holy Spirit is given. So in Acts 1, verse 8, it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth," that right outside of your household, to the next town over, to the next state, all around the world. The Holy Spirit fuels our courage and gives us clarity. If we operate outside of the power that God has given us, it comes on us. And a lot of the stress for that is, and this is what I do to myself, I forget that God is the one that is bringing the growth, that God is the one that's doing the work. And I try to do the work itself, and I try to shake the tree so that the fruit will come. And it doesn't really work that way. I mean, try that. Plant a fruit tree in your backyard and just pressure it into having fruit. Just look at it. We have apple trees in our backyard, which are growing, not because I stared at it, only because God did his thing, you know. But it doesn't happen with people either. Sometimes we're like, we spoke a good word to them. We encouraged. We did this thing. And why isn't there transformation in them? And we have to trust that God is doing what God is doing in them in his time. That doesn't mean that we stop. That doesn't mean that we give up. But we don't put the onus, the pressure on us to make the fruit happen in the lives of people. And I say this all the time for people that go on mission trips. Short-term mission trips are primarily for you. Not that kids weren't impacted. Not that lives, you know, weren't changed. Not that things didn't happen to other people. But I believe that those 4 or 5 days that we were there, it did more, which you heard in the testimony, for the people who were there. I mean, I'm literally, and I've told this, if you've been around for a while, I'm in ministry right now, 23 years later, because my wife and I said yes to go on a mission trip. That was literally our introduction into getting involved in our youth ministry to get it, because it was a youth trip, didn't know that, went with these students. And God did something in me then that he's still doing in me now. And see, the mission isn't about our strength, it's about his. And the gospel continues to move outward, and it will as we faithfully minister to those around us. The beauty of our impact, though it may seem small, over time and hope in what God is doing, it expands. It expands to people that we will never see or touch because we had an encounter with someone that was changed that helped someone else and so on and so forth. It's worth the cost, and it will be cost. Let me just tell you, like, if you want to see people meet Jesus, it will be dirty. It will be ugly at times. It will cost you. It will be embarrassing because they will mock you. They will say things about you. It will not. Sometimes God opens a door and shines light in there and you see something happen right then. But a lot of times it is choosing to pay the price. Acts 5 verse 40. It says, and when they had called in the apostles for doing what they felt called by the Lord to do, they beat them and charged them not to speak the name of Jesus, and they let them go. We'll show them. Wear them out, and they'll learn. Verse 41, and then they left the presence of the council rejoicing. How many of you have received a beating and left going, praise the Lord? Praise the Lord, thank you. They rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name of Jesus. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus. A little bit after that, in Acts chapter 7, Stephen was stoned. One of the first, they were having trouble with the widows. Some of the widows were getting left out, and people were complaining that, man, this thing is growing, but people are getting not a fair share. And so instead of stopping the preaching of the word, they appointed some people to be deacons. And one of them was this guy named Stephen. He was just literally called in, given a job to clean tables and make sure, not just clean tables, but he was serving. Well, Stephen decided that he's going to preach. And he gives a sermon that got him killed, stoned to death. And he, like Christ, said, Father, forgive. Can you imagine sitting in a circle of angry people that think you're robbing their religion and they pick up stones, not little pebbles, like, like they pick up stones that if you get hit enough with them, you die, and they start pelting you. And your voice is, Lord, forgive them, because he had a mission that was past his comfort or even his life. Stephen preached boldly and died forgiving his killers. Paul and Silas sang in prison, chains after being beaten. This was an ongoing thing. And the hard part is that the gospel thrives in hardship. The gospel probably wouldn't have left Jerusalem in the time that it did if it wasn't for the death of Stephen. Because they scattered and they went, and because they had to go other places, they ended up being other places, and so they shared the gospel other places, and that gospel hit areas that it wouldn't have, and the gospel thrives in hardships. That's why in countries, closed countries like China, it's one of the fastest growing populations of Christians. Here in America, we can rent a public building. This is owned by the county, this building. It's run by a nonprofit that does a senior center, but we're in a county-owned building preaching the gospel here. Other countries, that's not the case, and they're growing at a higher rate than we are because the gospel is worth the cost to them. And the last thing is, honestly, and don't take this wrong, but whether you do or don't, the gospel will continue. Whether we reach does anything, the gospel will continue. And how do I know that? Because we are over 2,000 years from these moments, and the gospel cannot be stopped. It cannot. But how much better would it be if we take into account that it is worth the cost, and we know it's unstoppable, and just get involved in what God is already doing. That's a great, for those who've done experiencing God, that's an experiencing God thing. You know, you just join in where God is working, because he is working in this city and around you. You've just got to be aware. In Acts 8, starting in verse 1, and Saul, not Paul yet, and Saul approved of his execution, talking about Stephen. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentations over him, but Saul was ravaging the church. And he entered house after house and dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. You're like, oh man, what are we going to do? The church is being destroyed by this person. Well, God had a different plan. God kicked that little person off of his horse or donkey on his way to destroy the church. And he said, this is my man that's going to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. And you know what he said? He said, I must show him what he must suffer to share. And that same man who was apt to destroy the church at the end of Acts, in Acts 28, verse 30, these are the last couple of words of Acts. And he lived there, Paul, for 2 years in prison by his own expenses. And he welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. It's unstoppable. Like, this person had intended to destroy the church, and God said, no. No, you're going to be my instrument. The blunt hammer that wanted to destroy the church is now the scalpel that's healing what God is trying to do. And he, to the end, was preaching the gospel because it cannot be stopped. Persecution scattered the church, yet everywhere they went, they carried the gospel. The church doesn't retreat in hard times, it multiplies. Paul, imprisoned again and again, kept writing, preaching, and sending encouraging letters. That's what we have throughout our New Testament. See, hope is locked into the potential of God doing everything great with our willingness to be on mission over time. It's his work with our willingness. The greatest impact of these two mission groups, the greatest impact of these two missions, talking about Rancho Del Rey and back to back, is not seen for years and even decades. One of the coolest things that I saw, and I didn't get a picture because somebody showed it to me on their phone, but Rancho Del Rey has been there for 75 years, and back to back has similar stories to this, but this was in December. They had the kids did a little song, like, and they did a celebration and invited all these people that were past graduates, and these people came, there was a picture of the director's son, because the guy who started it, he and his wife, he died at 95 in 2015, but the son was still there, 62, he's running the ministry right now, and there was a picture of him with like 7 or 8 other guys, some of them who had been through the program in the 70s, in the 80s, in the 90s, and he was talking about, he told one that had gone through, graduated high school, and one of his daughters was a doctor, the other was a nurse, and these are people who would have never had this cycle, and that cycle was stopped because people felt called to go to another country. See, and we don't know, like, he didn't see the impact of that. He probably died before he saw most of the outcome of what happened through their ministry, the mom and dad, and their willingness to continue to pour in. I mean, who knows how many generations will be impacted because of the ministry that is still ongoing. I'm going to call our worship team back up. So what would it look like for you to live the mission where you are, even if it costs you? Where have you held back out of fear, comfort, or convenience? Many of us hold back because we're not sure we know everything that we need to know. And let me just tell you, as someone that has done this for 22 years, you will never get to that place. I definitely do not know all the things that I probably need to know. And I'm reading, I'm learning, I want to know more. But if you're waiting for, like, I got to have a good understanding, but usually that good understanding is right above the level where you're at. So it gives you an excuse of not. And let me just tell you, if it's more about God than it is about you, be willing to be that little kid with the 3 loaves and the 2 fish to say, here's what I have. That's what we did on this trip. Most of us could not speak the language. Most of us, you know, like, we might have got names, and that was the extent of the words that we could express to each other. So who needs the hope of the gospel around you? Maybe it's that neighbor that's just driving you crazy. Maybe it's the coworkers that you pull your hair out because. Maybe it's children or extended family. Let's put our hope in a future that is based more on what God is doing than what we can do. If you'll stand up, I'm going to bless you, and then we're going to worship together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Lord, I don't want to guilt or shame, and neither do you people, for not doing something. Would you give us such a longing to see your kingdom that we become willing to get out of our comfort zone, just like those who shared their testimonies, and be willing to share what we know about you with those around. So, Lord, would you today begin to do things in us that we cannot do in our community, in the kingdom that you've called us to impact? Would you fill us with your Holy Spirit? Would you give us the encouragement we need today to do another day faithfully for you? And, Lord, I pray for those in this room that they're struggling with hope because they don't see it at all. Lord, you put on flesh so that you could show us what it means to love. Lord, our brokenness isolated us from you, but you fixed that problem with the cross. And so, Lord, this morning, would you help us constantly go back to that place of surrender to you? Lord, we love you. And Lord, would you continue today to do what you are doing in this city and use us. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.